In this series of messages, we've been discovering that God really, really wants to bless us. And He has blessed us, and He really wants to bless us in many different areas of our lives. And we looked at some of the areas of God's blessings, that is, the areas in which God blesses us. And we began with cultural blessings, blessings upon nations. God blesses nations and cultures of people. We see that throughout the Bible, and especially God's people in the Old Testament. We discovered that God blesses us materially. We've discovered that God blesses us relationally, that is, with our relationships. And we discovered that He blesses us directionally, providing a purpose and direction in life. And we discovered that God blesses us, most importantly, spiritually. Spiritual blessings that belong to those who are in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, you'll remember the Bible says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places for those who are in Christ. Those who are in Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings, and we discovered what some of those spiritual blessings are. So we dealt with the areas of God's blessings, and then we've been dealing in the last number of services with the avenues of God's blessings. That is, I've been trying to look at the Bible with you and discover the avenues that we're going to have to go down if we're going to experience all the blessings that God has for our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want just a few blessings. I want everything God has that He wants to give me, amen. And so that means I got to get on the right road. I got to go down the right avenue if I'm going to find out and discover all the blessings that God has for me. We discovered that begins with the avenue of salvation. And that is, while it's true that all of creation experiences a measure of God's blessings, that is, before I ever got saved, God was already pouring out His blessings upon me. All of creation experiences a measure of God's blessings. It is only those who are in Christ that experience the maximum blessings that God has for us. And the spiritual blessings, all the blessings that God has provided for us, ladies and gentlemen, are minimized if you're not in Christ. And there's going to come a time when the blessings of God are going to end and the wrath of God is going to be experienced. If you want to experience the best of God's blessings, then you got to be on the avenue called salvation. That is, you got to get off the wide avenue, the wide road that Jesus talked about, and you got to get on the narrow road. The wide road is the one that everybody's on. The narrow road is those who are in Christ. And the only way to get off the wide avenue and get on the narrow one, the only way, the only exit ramp is Jesus. And it's what He did on the cross, His death and resurrection. The only way is to be saved. That is, those who are on salvation's avenue are those who've realized their lostness, who realize they're headed for destruction, and they turned around, they turned to Christ, they turned from their sin, and they turned to Christ and received and believed what God did for them on the cross. God brought them to a point called repentance and to a point called faith or believing. And when He did that, He saved them. They became a new creature in Christ, their sin forgiven, and they're on a brand new road now, and it's a road that leads to life, everlasting life, according to what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Now, if you're on the avenue of salvation, that is, if you've been saved, then you're on the right avenue to experience the blessings of God. And as you're traveling down this road, since you've been saved, you might have noticed some other roads and avenues off of the avenue of salvation that leads to even more blessings in your life. I've tried to discover with you what some of those are. We talked about the avenue of humility, looking at the example of our Lord who humbled Himself and washed the feet of His disciples, and He said, "Happy are ye," or "Blessed are ye, if you know and do these things." That is, the blessings that come from humility as opposed to the difficulties that come with pride. We discovered there's not only the avenue of humility, but there's the avenue of prayer. And there's a Bible indicates to us, as Jesus said in Matthew 7, that if you ask, that you'll receive. And if you'll seek, you'll find. If you'll knock, it'll be open unto you. Hey, if you want the blessings of God in your life, then you got to learn how to walk with God in prayer. And there are some blessings that you will receive no other way except to walk with God and to prevail in prayer with the Lord. And there's the avenue of prayer. We looked at the avenue of repentance. And that is, when you're going down Salvation's Avenue, you're going to come to a roadblock every once in a while. And the reason why it's there is because there's something that is standing in your way or hindering you from being everything God wants you to be. But you don't have to sit there at the roadblock. There's an avenue called the avenue of repentance. You can turn from that sin. You can turn from whatever it is that's distracted or sin that has bogged down your walk with God. And you can repent. And ladies and gentlemen, if you will, then you're back on the road to receive the blessings that come with repentance. God's people ought to be repenters. You say, Pastor, I repented one time and that's all that I need to repent. Well, when it comes to salvation, ladies and gentlemen, that is true. But when it comes to becoming everything God wants you to be after you're saved, there might be some things that you need to repent of as you travel Salvation's Avenue. It's not that you're going to miss out on your salvation, it's going to miss out on your blessings. And so repentance is one of those avenues you and I need to go down. Hey, you remember 2 Chronicles 7:14, when God spoke and he said to Solomon, listen, if I dry everything up and you don't have any crops and you're in the middle of a big curse because you've sinned against me, then if my people, which are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and if they will pray and seek my face, and if they'll turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land, which means I'm going to pour out my blessings once again. So there are those avenues. And then we began dealing this past Lord's Day with the avenue of obedience. The avenue of obedience. That is, if you and I are on Salvation's Avenue, ladies and gentlemen, want to experience all the blessings that God has for us, then the Bible indicates to us that we need to get on the avenue of obedience. We've got to learn how to obey God. That is, now that we're saved. Now listen, our conversion to Christ began with obedience. That is, the Bible refers to those who have obeyed the gospel. That is, it's used that phrase to describe those who are saved. They heard the gospel and they heard the call to repent and believe, and they obeyed by repenting and believing, and therefore they were converted and born again. And ladies and gentlemen, now that we're on Salvation's Avenue, it is a lifestyle of learning how to obey God. That is, how to walk with God in obedience. I said to you in the services this past Sunday that there is the expectation of obedience, that God expects His people to obey Him. Now, we saw that throughout the Old Testament, but it's not exclusive to the Old Testament. When you get to reading in the New Testament, it's obvious that God also expects for His New Testament people to obey Him. As a matter of fact, we should. God has every right to expect everyone in this room to obey Him. I gave you two reasons. I hope you remember what they were. And that is, you ought to obey God because of who He is. And that is, if God really is who the Bible says that He is, then you ought to be wanting to obey Him because He is God. If God really is God, then He has a right to expect us to obey Him like a parent has a right to expect their child to obey them. And not only because He is God, but God expects us to obey Him so that He can bless us. Because He wants to pour out blessings upon our life. And ladies and gentlemen, disobedience hinders that in our life. Adam and Eve are the prime example of that. And that is, God wanted to bless them, and He did bless them. But He gave them some guidelines. He gave them that one rule, don't eat from this tree. And when they disobeyed God, ladies and gentlemen, many of the blessings of God were removed from them, and they found themselves outside of the Garden of Eden. And that is, disobedience hinders the blessings of God in your life. God wants you to obey Him so that He can bless you. That is, God is not trying to rob you of something good. He's trying to give you something good. And that's why He expects you to obey Him. You ought to obey Him for at least those two reasons. And that is because of who God is and because of how God wants to bless you in your life. You and I spend some time just looking not only at the expectation of obedience in the Bible, but also some examples of obedience throughout the Bible. And that is how those who obeyed God were blessed. We began with a boat builder named Noah, and we worked all our way down even to the effective evangelist, that is Philip, that God called to go and preach the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. These are examples. The Bible is full of examples of men and women that obeyed God. And because of their obedience, not only were they, but many others were blessed as well. So we know that the expectation of obedience, ladies and gentlemen, is indeed exampled throughout the Bible. So let me preach to you for a little while in the time that we have tonight about what I would just call some essentials of obedience. That is, I've spoken to you about God's expectation of obedience. I've given you some examples of obedience. But let's think now about the essentials of obedience. If you and I are going to live a life of obedience to God, then there are some things that are essential. These are not negotiable. They are absolutely essential, or you're not going to obey God. And they are sort of in a 1, 2, 3, 4 type of step. That is, first of all, if you and I are going to be able to obey God, the first essential is that we must focus on the voice of God. Focusing on the voice of God is essential if you and I are going to be able to obey God. Listen, you will not know how to be obedient until you hear from God. That is, how can you obey God if you don't know what He's saying? How are you going to be able to know what direction to go in if you're not listening to the voice of God? How am I going to know what decision to make if my ear is not turned towards heaven and I'm hearing what God is saying? Listen, one of the challenges when you and I are saved now, one of the challenges of our life is to focus on the voice of God. Now, if you're going to focus on the voice of God, you might have to drown out some other voices. You probably know what some of them are, don't you? And that is, you might have to drown out and plug your ears as far as listening to the world around you. And that is, the world is speaking loudly. And listen to me now, the world around you is trying to captivate your attention. As a matter of fact, the world around you was devised by the enemy of God, that is, the devil himself and the demons of hell, that have devised a world system around you that is specifically designed to capture your attention, so that you will not listen to the voice of God, to distract you and to disillusion you, so that you're not listening or seeking or focusing on what it is that God is saying. Listen to me now, and this is a warning to all of us who are here in the room and those listening by other means, and that is, you better pay very close attention to and focus on the voice of God. Because listen now, the world around you is trying to keep your mind so occupied and you so busy and your mind so focused on everything else that you're not focused on thinking about what it is that God is saying to you. You say, why is that? Because the devil designed it that way. He doesn't want you to hear the voice of God. If you're lost, listen to me, if you're lost and you're not trembling before God because of your lost condition, it is because your mind has been distracted by the world around you instead of listening to the truth of the Word of God about your lost condition and about the judgment of God that awaits you at the moment that you take your last breath, and you don't know when that's going to be. Your mind is distracted by the world. If you would listen to the voice of God, you could get saved. He would reveal to you and speak to you about your lostness on the inside of your soul. And if you would let Him, it'd bring you to a point of brokenness before Him and to a point of surrender to Him. And you could know that your sin is forgiven, that you have eternal life, that Christ is living on the inside of you. But listen to me now. Now that you're saved, those of you who are, now that you are, you've got to learn to listen to the voice of God as you walk in the Christian life. And the reason why is because the world, this world system, is trying to distract you from hearing from God. You got to focus on it. That is, you got to focus on the voice of God. When you and I were looking at some of the examples of obedience in the service this past Lord's Day, we looked at people who had heard from God. We looked at Noah. Remember the boat builder? Hey, the reason why the Noah knew he was supposed to build a boat is because God was speaking to him, and guess what? He was listening to God. The reason why that Abraham knew that he needed to leave his home and to go to a land that God would show him is because God was speaking to him, and he was listening to God. Hey, the reason why that Joshua, that legendary leader, knew what to do with the people of God and how to lead them to take the land of Canaan is because Joshua, God was speaking and he was listening to God. Hey, listen, the reason why that Joseph and Mary, that is those, the parents of our Lord, the reason why they knew to get out of Bethlehem and to get to Egypt is because God was speaking and Joseph was listening. The reason why the apostles, ladies and gentlemen, knew to follow Jesus is because they heard these two words, "Follow me," spoken by our Lord, and they knew they better start following. The reason why, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why the Philip knew to go down to Gaza where that Ethiopian eunuch was at and share the gospel with him, and the gospel was taken from one continent to another. The reason why is because God was speaking and Philip was listening. You say, well, if God was speaking to me, I sure would listen. Don't you think he is? I mean, God hasn't lost his ability to speak, has he? Oh no, God is still the same God has always been. And God is still speaking. He'll speak to you if you'll listen to what God is saying. Listening to God is characteristic of God's people. Now, the Lord told us that, and he said that in John chapter number 10 and verse number 27. Listen to these words. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." One of the things that characterizes those who really belong to the shepherd, those who are his sheep, Jesus says, is that they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow after me. That is, the idea of following after him is obedience. And that is, Jesus speaks and they do what he says to go. They follow in the direction that he's leading and do the things that he is saying. That's typical of those who belong to the shepherd. Now listen, we need to nail this down a little bit more, and that is, how is it then, Pastor, that I can focus on the voice of God? If this is so important, that is, focusing on the voice of God, how can I? How can I hear from God? How can I listen to God or know what it is that God is saying in my life? Now listen, this is important. And that is, if you're saved, learning how to listen to God. Stop listening to the world around you and start listening to God. But how am I going to do that? And we know one thing that we need to do already, don't we? And that is that we need to start shutting out the foreign voices. That is, the voices of the world, the voices of the enemy. And sometimes there are people in your life that also are messengers, ladies and gentlemen, but not the right kind. And what they're saying to you is not true. That is, there may be literally people in your life that are feeding you, ladies and gentlemen, that are speaking to you and telling you things that don't line up with the Word of God, the truth of God, and are not lining up with what God is saying. And sometimes you got to tune those voices out. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Well, sometimes they are people that you need to create a distance from them. There are other times that you need to let them know exactly what you believe and where you stand. There are some times, ladies and gentlemen, that you simply have to ignore what they say and not to internalize what they say. But sometimes you got to weed out the voices that, we weed out the voices that are speaking that which is not true. But let me just say also, there are voices, ladies and gentlemen, that are not audible. They are the voices of demons that are trying to influence your mind and your thoughts. You can't see them and you don't audibly hear them necessarily, but listen, they are there and they are voicing themselves through people and through the world to try to impact your thoughts and try to direct your life in a direction that's going to cause you to miss out on the blessings of God. And so you got to silence those kinds of voices. That is, the demonic traffic in your life has got to be dealt with, and you deal with that, ladies and gentlemen, by first of all recognizing it for what it is. Now, you know this already, don't you? And that is, the devil always operates under disguise. We see that all the way back in the beginning, and that is, whenever he approached Eve in the Garden of Eden, he didn't walk up to her and say, "I'm the devil and I want to destroy you and all of your descendants." No, no, no. He came to her and was disguised as a serpent. A serpent that was attractive to her before the fall. He always operates under disguise. And a lot of the battle for us is being able to discern what it is that we're dealing with, whether or not it really is demonic or not. And you need to learn how to do that. That is, you need to learn how to test the spirits as the Scripture teaches us. Learning how to test the spirits to see whether or not it is of God or whether it is not, whether it's from the enemy or whether it's from the world or whether it's both. Sometimes the enemy operates through the world system around us. And as is the case with our Lord, whenever Peter opened up his mouth one time, sometimes he operates through people that are close to us. And our Lord had to rebuke him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Not recommending that in every circumstance for you, but it may work on occasion. That is, you and I have to recognize how the enemy's operating. You say, "Pastor, I don't know how to do that." Well, I give you a little advice. You're going to have to walk close to God, and the Spirit of God living on the inside of you is the one who gives you discernment and wisdom to know whether or not you're dealing with demonic traffic in your life. So there is these voices, that is this the message and that comes to us that in the world around us, ladies and gentlemen, that we've got to recognize, where is this coming from? Is this God speaking to me, or is it from the enemy, or is it rising within my own flesh? That is, we don't have to deal with the devil and the world, we've got to deal with our own flesh. That is, our own sinful fallen nature, ladies and gentlemen, communicates to us in the area of desires and lust. That is, we begin to desire. We have thoughts that are connected to our desires that flow out of our sinful, selfish nature. You say, "Well, how can I discern whether or not it's from my sinful nature?" If it's from your sinful nature, it will be a selfish desire that is a desire for something that you to consume for yourself. It won't be a desire for somebody, it won't be a selfless desire, but a selfish desire that rises out of your old sinful nature. "This is what I want." If you find yourself saying the big I, that is to yourself on the inside, then it's probably flowing out of your sinful nature. Our sinful nature is selfish, it is lustful, ladies and gentlemen, and as a result of that, flowing out of that are these thoughts that come to our mind. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Let me just use this. This is such a simple little example, but the principle is there. And that is, here you are, you're trying to get healthy. And the reason why is because you want to live as long as you can, to glorify God as long as you can. You want to be a good steward of your body that God gave to you so that you can continue to bless others and be a blessing and live for God. And so you're trying to take care of yourself. And so you say, "You know what? I'm going to go on this diet and I'm going to lose these extra pounds. And I don't know about you, but all I got to do is think about it and I get hungry." You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I may not be hungry, but I sure do get hungry when I think about doing something like that. Rising up on the inside of me, ladies and gentlemen, is my old sinful, gluttonous self. You say, "Pastor, what's wrong with that?" It's sin. To be so selfish and self-centered as to stuff myself with all kinds of junk that's potentially going to shorten my lifespan and be a bad steward of my body. Now, that's one simple example. There are many that are much more important as well, not to minimize that one. Just my life's all about me. And by the way, your life's about me too. Purpose of your life is to make me happy, in case you didn't know. Isn't that the way we are? And thus straining our relationships, straining our marriages, straining relationships here at church and in our workplace, that it's life's all about me and your life's about me too, and everybody ought to think like I do and do what I do, and you ought to know what it is that I want anyway. You know that, don't you? Just selfishness and self-centeredness on the inside of us, bubbling up on the inside of us. Hey, that's the reason why the many people, ladies and gentlemen, go down a pathway that leads to destruction in their life, is because they're looking for something, searching for something to bring a sense of peace and tranquility on the inside, and they're searching and they're looking and they're striving for that. It's the old sinful nature when in reality it's a demonic deception. And there's a devil operates through our flesh. The open door, that is the open door that demonic traffic looks for to be able to influence our life, is two. One is the world, the influence of the world, and it is our flesh operating through our flesh to be able to build a stronghold in our life, an area in our life where the devil can operate and discourage us and defeat us. And so the challenge for us, ladies and gentlemen, is to be able to walk in the Spirit and to walk close enough to God, and so the Spirit of God can help us discern between what is the voice of the enemy, that is the devil and his demons, what is the voice of the world, and what is the voice of our flesh. So that you and I can begin to say no to those voices, so that we can begin to guard ourselves against that influence in our life. The world, the flesh, and the devil is not your friend. That's not going to bring blessing into your life. But God is the source of your blessing. And so you and I need to start focusing on the voice of God. Start listening to God and not those other voices, and to be able to discern between them. You say, how am I going to hear the voice of God? Let me mention a few things real quick. And that is, one of them is, why don't you just start noticing the providence of God? What is it that God is saying to me? You might just start noticing the providence of God. When I use the word providence, I mean God just divinely directing the circumstances around you in your life. He's just providentially operating around you, circumstantially. Because God may be trying to say something through those circumstances. He might be revealing something to you through them. When I was talking about Philip the other day, that is this past Lord's Day, Sunday night, I talked about Philip, how he obeyed God. And he obeyed God when he went down to Samaria in Acts chapter number 8. He went to Samaria, and boy, he's preaching the gospel in Samaria. But do you know the reason why that Philip knew that he needed to leave Jerusalem and go to Samaria? One of the reasons why that he knew he needed to leave Jerusalem and go to Samaria is because of God's providentially operated in the circumstances in such a way in the city of Jerusalem that he had to get out of there. Let me just show you real quick in Acts chapter number 8. In Acts chapter number 8, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, it says this about the death of Stephen. Stephen, ladies and gentlemen, was one of seven men. Philip was another one. They were two of seven men that God had chosen to serve and meet the needs of the widows in the early church. They were serving tables. Literally, the word means they were serving the tables. They were serving and ministering to the physical needs of people inside the church. And, of course, we know they were preaching the gospel as well. And Stephen, therefore, was stoned to death. After the stoning of Stephen, we have this information in Acts 8. It says, and Saul, this is Saul of Tarsus, was consenting unto his death, unto the death of Stephen. Saul was the one, ladies and gentlemen, who apparently had a lot of the responsibility for the stoning of Stephen. He consented to his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. That is, persecution broke out. We learn more about it in the remaining verses. Verse 2 says, devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he'd made havoc of the church. What did he do? He entered into the house, into every house. And we know that believers were meeting in homes. He entered into the house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. So the Bible tells us that in Jerusalem, this guy named Saul has taken upon himself he's taken upon himself the responsibility of dealing with this new movement, considered to be at this point a movement within Judaism that was not loyal to Judaism and to the message of the Pharisees. And so the Bible says that this man Saul began to put a stop to it. And ladies and gentlemen, he is going into people's homes where the churches were meeting, and he is arresting those believers. In his testimony in the book of Acts, he goes on in his testimony, and Paul tells us he not only arrested them, but he also beat them, and that he also, some of them died, and not just Stephen. He was persecuting the church in Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse number 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That's the reason why that the believers started scattering out of Jerusalem. The circumstances that is around them, the persecution that broke out, forced them to leave Jerusalem and to scatter into the area around Jerusalem, which would have included Judea, and then also as far as the area of Samaria. And in that persecution, well, this is hard to believe that God would use persecution, but He did. God is so providentially operating that He's using the persecution to scatter believers for the purpose of going everywhere preaching the Word of God. And the Bible says in verse 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And when he started preaching, God started moving. If you read the rest of the verses, God started moving. People started getting healed. Demons were being cast out and people were being saved. And ladies and gentlemen, there was a lot of joy and rejoicing in the area that is in the city of Samaria. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God was blessing. Now, the reason why Philip was there is because God providentially operated through circumstances to move him out of Jerusalem. So he knew he had to go somewhere else. You see, Philip, if he was anything like I am, he would have said, you know what? I think I'll stay right here in Jerusalem, man. I love it here. God is moving and souls are being saved and the apostles are here. Now I'm gonna hang around with the apostles. They remained in Jerusalem. I'm gonna hang around here with the apostles. They're teaching, and I love the apostles' teaching or the apostles' doctrine. I'm gonna stay right here and I'm gonna grow, and I don't wanna go anywhere else. I just wanna stay right here and just grow in the apostles' doctrine. And all of a sudden circumstances changed, ladies and gentlemen. And God providentially moved through this persecution, the death of Stephen, the persecution that followed, that forced this man, Philip, out of Jerusalem. And that's when he started saying, now, Lord, where am I going to go now? Now, I'm reading between the lines, but I suppose that's probably what he did. And he was directed in some manner. God started revealing to his heart. He went to Samaria, and God began to move there, and he began to tell people, share the gospel. Do you see how God operates providentially? He does. That's one of the things that we probably ought to notice in our life is the providence of God, what God is doing around us in our circumstances. Because God might be trying to say something to us through that. How am I going to listen to the voice of God? If I'm going to focus on, I can't obey God if I don't know what He's saying. If all I do is listen to the world, if all I do is listen to my flesh, if all I do is listen to demonic traffic that's around us, if that's all I do, then I'm never going to listen to God. I'm not going to hear Him. I'm not going to know what to do and make bad decisions and miss out on the blessings of God. So if I'm going to listen to the voice of God, the first thing I need to do is I probably ought to start noticing the providence of God. That's number one. Number two, are you ready for the next one? Not only start noticing the providence of God, but we probably ought to stay near to the people of God. Stay near to the people of God. Now listen to me. There are people that God has placed into our lives who know God and who walk with God and who listen to God. And God often speaks through them. Now, those people that God has placed into your life that genuinely know the Lord, I'm not just talking about religious people, but people that you know have had an encounter with God and know Him and are walking with Him, and God is speaking through them. Listen to me now. Those people should not be taken for granted. But instead, we ought to draw near to them. We ought to stay close to them. We ought to listen to them. Now, I know there's a balance to this, and that is I realize that you and I should not exalt people. That is, we shouldn't be exalting men. But we better pay attention, ladies and gentlemen, and we ought to know who it is that God is operating through to speak into our life, and we ought to stay near to those people. We really should. Because God speaks through them to give us direction so that we can obey Him. Listen to me. Let me give you a word of warning. There may be some people listening to this message that need this right now. And that is, if you distance yourself from the people of God, from those who really know God, are walking with God, and that God is speaking through, if you distance yourself from them, then you're distancing yourself from the voice of God. You say, God can speak to me wherever I'm at. But if God has chosen to speak to you through people, and you distance yourself from that, ladies and gentlemen, then it may be that God's not going to say much to you. And you're not going to know what direction to go in. You need to draw near to the people of God and stay near to the people of God, and don't allow any distance between you and God's people that God is speaking through. Let me give an example of it. It's found in Acts chapter number 11. In Acts chapter number 11. Now I'm going to have to hurry. Y'all slowing me down here. You're not listening very quickly. In Acts chapter number 11, I love this passage, the church in Antioch. And Antioch of Syria, that is. And the Bible tells us, beginning of verse number 19, talking about those believers who were scattered from Jerusalem, divine providence. The Bible says, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. That is, as they scattered, like Philip scattered and went to Samaria, others went as far as Antioch of Syria. That's a distance, a good distance from Jerusalem. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, not only the Jews, but now the Greeks or Gentiles. And the Bible says, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord in Antioch. And the Bible says in verse 22, tidings of those things came to the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. That is, the apostles found out about the move of God in Antioch, and not only Jews, but now Gentiles are being saved. And they said, Barnabas, we need you to go and find out what's going on. Check this out. And they sent Barnabas, and the Bible says when he got there, and let me paraphrase a little bit, when he got there, he saw the grace of God, people being saved by grace, and he was glad, oh, he was glad. And he exhorted or encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. Hey, this man Barnabas is a man, a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added to the Lord. And then listen to the next verse. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. You remember Saul? He's the one that not only was responsible for the stoning of Stephen, but was converted on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter number 9. And after he got saved, after a little time, he went to Jerusalem. And when he got there, the apostles and the believers in Jerusalem, they were, well, we don't want to, this guy is dangerous. He's the one who took the life of Stephen. He's the one who arrested people here in Jerusalem. And it was Barnabas who put his arm around him and said, listen, I've talked to this man. He's a brother. He's been genuinely converted, and we should receive him. This guy, Barnabas, was indeed a friend to Saul during that time. And now here he is, Barnabas, in Antioch of Syria. God is moving. People are being saved. I mean, God is operating in a special way. And now the Bible says that Barnabas, this man who's full of the Holy Ghost, which tells us the reason why that he went to Tarsus to find Saul of Tarsus. Saul has been there now for several years after his conversion. It's probably been 9 or 10 years since his conversion. And there he is now in his hometown, loving God, serving God, worshiping God, and sharing the gospel, and meeting with the Lord. And this guy, Barnabas, shows up and knocks on his door. Now, this is in your Bible, but here's probably what happened. He knocked on his door, and Saul opens up his door. He's back there in his prayer room, and he hears the knock, and the Holy Ghost said, you better get up and answer the door. And he opened the door, and there's Barnabas, and he hugs him and said, my friend, Barnabas, where have you been? What have you been doing? He says, I've been in Antioch. God is moving, and so I need you to come to Antioch and go and help me there in the ministry in Antioch. And you know what he did? The Bible says that Saul came to Antioch and he served there with Barnabas for a whole year. And do you know this? While he was there in Antioch, while he was there serving with Barnabas, that one day they were worshiping the Lord, praying and seeking God's face, and the Spirit of God moved and spoke and said, I want you to set aside these two men, Saul and Barnabas for a special work. And they did. They laid their hands on them. They prayed for them, and they sent them out, ladies and gentlemen, on the first missionary journey. This man, Saul, was in the right place and at the right time to receive divine direction that he could obey. Do you know the reason why he was there? Because a man named Barnabas came and said, "Saul, I've been praying, and God told me that you need to come and help me." Now, I'm sure the Holy Ghost confirmed that in the heart of Saul. But God spoke through this dear man of God named Barnabas to give direction to Saul that he could obey. Now, listen. If you ever find somebody like Barnabas, somebody that really knows the Lord, not just religious, but I mean they know God, been born again, know Him, are walking with Him, listening to Him. When that person speaks, you probably ought to listen. Because it might just be that God is trying to say something through that person. As a matter of fact, you ought to be like Saul and you ought to just hang out with that person. Be around that person. And it's not just one person. It's all of God's people. Stay near. If you want to hear the voice of God, you should notice. You should start noticing the providence of God. You should stay near to the people of God. You should study diligently the Word of God. Study diligently the Word of God. Did you know God speaks through His Word? Of course you know that, don't you? That's how God speaks. That is, He speaks through His Word. The Bible tells us that you and I we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that don't have to be ashamed and rightly dividing the Word of God in 2 Timothy 2:15. And the reason why, when the Bible says we ought to rightly divide the Word, it's the word that's used there is like somebody a tent maker would use, like Paul writing to Timothy. It's the idea of cutting something straight. Rightly dividing or cutting it in the right place, cutting it straight so that it's accurate, ladies and gentlemen. Even so, you and I need to know what this book said. God is speaking through His Word. And you and I need to be diligently studying the Word of God so we can know what it is that God is saying in our lives. Why, this book, the Bible says, when Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, he tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that all the Scriptures are given by inspiration of God, which means the Word of God, the Scriptures, are divinely breathed. It's the very breath of God given to us by the Spirit of God. And it's profitable. It'll help you bring blessing into your life. It's profitable in the area of doctrine, so you know what to believe and teach. For reproof, so that you know the areas that we need to repent of. And for correction, so we know how to walk right. Instruction in righteousness, so that you and I know how to live a righteous life, so that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly or completely furnished for every good work and all good works. God uses His Word so that He can speak to you and reveal to you and grow you. And so you and I have got to study diligently the Word of God. That means this, and this is so obvious. That means that you and I got to read the Word of God to find out what it says. That means we have to study the Word of God to find out what it means. It means that we need to listen to the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, as it is being taught and as it is being priest. Listen, if you and I are going to focus on the voice of God, we've got to study diligently the Word of God. How am I going to hear the voice of God? Well, you got to start noticing the providence of God. You need to stay near to the people of God, and you need to study diligently the Word of God. Open that book up. Read it. And once you've read it, do a little study and find out what it means. You might even want to meditate on it. Say, how do you do that? You think about it. You roll it around in your mind. Let the Spirit of God apply it to your life. When the Bible is being preached and taught, you and I ought to be eager to hear what God is saying through those that He has called and set aside as teachers of His Word. Here's what I'm trying to say to you, and that is, if you want to listen to the voice of God, start noticing the providence of God. Stay near to the people of God. Study diligently the Word of God. And the final one is this, surrender fully to the Spirit of God. Listen to me. If you're saved, if you're on the avenue of salvation, then that means the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. At the moment of your conversion, when God saved you, the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you, or you didn't get saved. If you say, Pastor, one of these days I'm saved, but I just don't have the Spirit, then you're not saved. The Spirit of God indwells immediately at the moment of conversion. Matter of fact, it happens so fast that you can't even pinpoint the moment. It's just over. And you just find yourself indwelt by the Spirit of God. Peace and joy on the inside. Made whole on the inside. He lives in you. Listen to me now. He doesn't live in you for no reason. He has a purpose. And one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to you the mind and the will of God. That's what Jesus said in John 14. Let me just read you a couple verses, and then I'll try to find a place to park in just a moment. In John 14 and verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you," Jesus said. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," listen to this, "He'll teach you all things. And he'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one who is our great teacher. The Bible says he'll guide us into all truth. He'll reveal those things that are yet to come in John 16. And do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that he does that? I mentioned to you a few moments ago, Acts 13, where the Bible says that Paul and Barnabas in Antioch are worshiping, they're praising God, they're praying, they're seeking God, they're fasting, and the Holy Ghost spoke. Acts 13, the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to separate Barnabas and Saul for a special work that I've called them to." And ladies and gentlemen, the church obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit that spoke that day. Now, we don't know that the Holy Spirit spoke audibly. He spoke to their hearts, and it may have been spoken audibly by one of the prophets in the church. But he spoke. And the Spirit of God is still speaking. And you know what his purpose is? It's not just to give you a tickly feeling on the inside. Now, I love that, don't you? Don't you love when the Spirit of God just fills you with peace and joy on the inside? But the reason why he does is because he wants to say something to us about the mind and will of God. He's speaking. We need to learn how to listen to him. And that is when I remember reading in Acts 16 on the second missionary journey. You might remember this as well. On the second missionary journey, the Bible says that Paul and Silas were trying to find out the mind of God about where to go on the second missionary journey. And here's what the Bible says. Let me read it to you and then I'll stop. "Now, when they were gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Paul and Silas wanted to go into the area of Asia, and the Spirit of God wouldn't let them. After that, they came to Mysia. They essayed, they wanted to go into Bithynia, another region, but the Spirit suffered them not, wouldn't allow them to go. The Spirit of God said, "No, you can't go in that direction." The Spirit of God said, "Bithynia, no, you cannot go to Bithynia." And so Paul and Silas said, "We need to just settle down here in Troas for a little while until the Spirit of God speaks to us and tells us where to go." And they did. And do you know that very night that the Apostle Paul had a vision? It was a vision of a man saying, "Come, help us." And the man was from Macedonia. And they knew then that the Spirit of God was saying that they were to leave, cross over the sea into the continent of Europe, and begin preaching the gospel in the area of Macedonia and then Achaia. You say, how'd they know what to do? How did they know to go there? Listen, the blessings that came from that, ladies and gentlemen, cannot be overstated. How do they know? Listen, they were listening to the voice of God by surrendering to the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God said no, they didn't. And when the Spirit of God wasn't speaking, they waited before him until he did. Now listen, if you'll surrender yourself to the Spirit of God fully and get to know Him, the promptings of the Spirit and the peace that the Holy Spirit gives, that gives us divine direction to obey. If you want to hear the voice of God, just start noticing the providence of God. Stay near to the people of God. Study diligently the Word of God. And surrender fully to the Spirit of God. And you'll be able to focus then on what God is saying to you. You say, Pastor, what's God saying to me? Why don't you listen to God and let Him tell you? Let Him speak to you. Learn how to listen to Him. If you'll do that, then now you have the means to be able to start obeying God. You can't obey God until you know what God's saying. So you got to focus on the voice of God. Now, I've got a lot more to say. I just don't have time tonight to say it. But you can start right there. Just start focusing on the voice of God. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what You're saying to us, how You're working in us. And would You bless everyone here with a heart to listen to what You're saying. I pray for those that have been listening by other means and some, Father, who may not be listening at all, that You would awaken their hearts with a desire to hear what it is that You're saying so that we can focus on Your voice. And we'll give You the praise for all that You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.